Back at it again. I'm going to talk about a couple things real fast. One of them is that I think I'm kind of refining my purpose here, in the sense of making this podcast, in the sense of talking about the things I talk about. It's not quite a change, you know. Every change happens gradually. But rather, it's, again, a refinement. I remember first making this podcast because I wanted to know from the first episode if there was anybody that thought like me, or if I was just speaking into the void, speaking into the ether. And I have to say, ever since I've done this, I've met a lot of people that, even if they don't agree with every single thing I say on here, they can at least meet me halfway, or they at least comprehend what I'm talking about. And I've come to realize there's a lot more people that, you know, at least are of like mind, or at least can meet me halfway. That's not exactly something I was looking completely for. It's not exactly something I envisioned when I first started this. But I've mentioned this before on this podcast, and one of the goals I'm starting to develop with my life is become something of a lighthouse, you know, for people with like minds, for people who sense something's wrong with the world surrounding us, our modern world. You know, I could talk about the news topics and things like that, but that'll be for a different day. Tonight I do want to talk about, just talk about this sense of how we all feel the need to be saved by someone else. Now, I'm not talking about someone you look up to and you, you know, happen to see his good qualities and you're like, how can I get that, you know? It's more along the lines of we tend to look for a savior no matter where we are at, especially in our modern world, especially in the political arena. And I don't normally like touching on politics, with some exception. This is going to be one of those exceptions. We have this habit of looking to politicians as our saviors. Granted, it's a bit of a holdover from the days where we were ruled by kings, we were ruled by noblemen, we were ruled by people with something of a sense of noblesse oblige, which itself was a phrase that basically stated that the ones above had an obligation to protect and guide the ones underneath them, the peasants, the serfs, whoever you want to call it. And just quickly paralleling of medieval times, because you know, it's the easiest thing that can pull out right now. You had the noble class, which also included the warrior class, and I'm talking about medieval Europe right about now. You had the priestly class, who were kind of the more literary class, the more educated class. And then you had, like, your peasants, your serfs, your workers. And then, eventually you had your yeomen, you know, your yeomen farmers, gentlemen farmers, things like that. But long story short, there was a symbiosis between all three of them. There was this sense of, we are struggling together, because in some level they were. That's really how it went down. And granted, we still have that holdover from today. But here's the thing. People that style themselves as our elite don't give a fuck about us. And I say that 100%. I say that without any bitterness, rage, malice, the lot. And there is plenty of things to take those feelings on about. But my point being, we still look to people in the exterior sense to save us, especially from the top down. The top down can work to some degree, but by looking up at the top, by looking at the top of the mountain, sometimes we forget what's directly under our feet, what's directly surrounding us, the things we can control, the things we can influence relatively easily. There's a concept called destination addiction, and I only realized that we all have some form of that in our way, because it's this sense of, oh, if things just go this way, then things will get better and everything will be wonderful. Everything will be shiny and new. You know, we see that again, the political arena. I saw that back when I was in New York City and used to think that the bad situations that were surrounding me were all I'd ever have. And while I eventually moved to Philadelphia for different reasons, it was kind of a culmination of the things I'd been thinking about for a good number of years. Namely, this sense that if I moved to a different destination, things would be perfect, things would smooth out, things would be wonderful, you know. And there'd be kind of a pressure off my shoulders. But it took me a while to recognize that majority of the pressure on my shoulders was the stuff that I put on myself. Because the world will happily give you an extra burden to bear here, there, everywhere. But the difficulty is, we tend to look toward this political party, that political leader, that celebrity, that person that the news media is trumpeting and putting up in lights. We do that too often. And we wonder why things never change. Because all what we see is the finished product. All what we pay attention to is the three-pointer, sinking of the basket, knockout punch. Few, if any, pay attention to the setup. Few, if any, pay attention to how things turn around. And the irony is, that we forget that politicians are just like us. This is no longer the age of kings. This is no longer the age of noble men, where the people at the top had an expectation towards the people underneath, and most of the time cared for them, or at least had something of an obligation, of a duty to themselves and their ancestors, and this sense of needing to make sure that they were the legitimate power there. They don't have that anymore. Instead, we have money. Instead, everything is for sale. And when I say everything's for sale nowadays, I mean that literally. You've even got people selling their virginities on eBay. Everything's a commodity. Now, some people say it's a good thing, and you can sell everything, and blah, 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 but as somebody who's sold blood at one point for a couple bucks to make sure I was okay, it absolutely fucking sucks. Sure, if you're a whiz with numbers, you can type up a couple of extra keystrokes on a keyboard, manipulate the system, make sure you and your buddies all pass along the right information, and then your stocks go up. But none of it's real. I used to never pay too much attention to the way people would look, especially people in rich areas, you know. When I was a teenager and stuff, I didn't know any better, you know. Poor guy of European descent, you know. Poor American, rather. Poor white American. Even worse to some of these people. I thought being rich was the be-all, end-all. I thought being rich would solve all the problems in the world. Until I met actual rich people. Until I saw their sunken, hollow eyes. Now, I'm not saying every rich person looks like that, but every now and then you run into a rich person that does look like that. You could see their crow's feet, no matter how much they have the surgeries there. You could see the bloodshot eyes. You could see this sort of relentless, constant, frantic pace that they're always pushing towards, drug-assisted or natural. And slowly you come to recognize that money isn't everything. What about pleasure? What about happiness? I've met people like that. There's still something hollow inside. The real point of life, at least from what I've gathered, is purpose. And that's not to say you can't enjoy your life. It's not to say you can't have worthy goals to strive for, and that's definitely not to say that you can't make more money, at least enough to live comfortably, of course. But we're all doing that. Making more money, seeking pleasure, seeking whatever version of happiness is in our head. To cover up the fact that we're living without purpose. And believe me when I tell you that's one of the worst things that can ever happen to anybody. Especially to our collective humanity. I've probably touched on this before, but I'll touch on it again because best lessons are the ones that get repeated and they sink into your head little by little by little. Purpose defines us. Purpose drives us. It is purpose that keeps us pushing forward, heedless to any obstacle in our way. And I'm sure I just paraphrased Agent Smith from The Matrix, but if it works, it works. It took me a good number of years to find my purpose. And now I'm refining it, of course, but... you know, the man that I am now didn't just pop up overnight. It took a slow, gradual, grinding process. And I think it would be the same for anybody. Anybody who tells you that anything happened for them quickly is either about to lose what they just gained quickly, or they're attempting to pull the wool over your eyes. The ardent reality is the most enduring changes are the gradual ones. Think of the ocean eroding away the rock of the shoreline. It doesn't look like it's doing much, but it's little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. And it is the same thing with developing our purpose. It is the same thing with the habits that we're forming, good or bad. I'm reading this book, still reading The Shallows by a man named Carr. Reading it from my English class originally, but it's taken on a life of its own as a book that I legitimately enjoy. It makes me happy. I actually bought the book and didn't just rent it, because it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime books. Via the new medium of the internet and what it, and its references in that book, it discusses at length neuroplasticity. It discusses at length the way our brains change and our brains format. And I think on some level that's why I enjoy it. I enjoy it because it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime books that just flow, that just legitimately merge philosophy, merge psychology, merge neurology, if you will, and it's something beautiful. And so I think I'm finding my purpose now. I think my purpose is to be something of a lighthouse to people. Whether people were in the same situations that I were or not, I can at least use the experiences I have. I can use my sharp mind. I can use my hard-earned wisdom. I can use my database of cultural knowledge in the back of my head to kind of provide structure. To kind of be a friend. Be a shoulder, you know. And sometimes be the guy that shakes you and's like, come on, turn around, get back up, go. You can do it. Because that's the thing with some of the best people in the world. That's the thing with all my favorite MMA fighters, favorite boxers, all those guys. They go in there and they train. They go in there and they cut weight. They go in there and they have to deal with the highs of winning, the agonies of defeat. And they have to get back up and do it all over again. Same thing with military members. They have to deal with a whole host of things. And while I find that people tend to misdirect their anger over the gutless politicians that sent our soldiers to places they should never have gone to in the first place, I still respect the soldier. I still respect the beat cop, the detective who solves a case. I respect those men in those professions, because that, in a way, is purpose. We may not always agree with the end goal, we may not always agree with the methods, but that is purpose. That is something driving them forward. I think the beauty of life, the true beauty of life, and this is something I'm only discovering now, is one where you find your purpose and you get to execute upon that purpose every single day. And I think via my experiences, which to me are normal, to me are just average, which is why I'm constantly surprised whenever people tell me I'm different than normal. And again, perhaps the very term normal is subjective. Perhaps the term we're looking for is functional, or functionalist, if I want to paraphrase Durkheim, who at this point is my favorite sociologist, simply because I've read a few of his works. And by Athena, his works still resonate today, 2 centuries after he wrote it, or 3 now, rather. But if there's one piece of advice I could give my younger self, and to anybody else listening, find your purpose. And the day you find it, don't ever let it go. Always keep that in your mind's eye, one way or the other. I'll let you chew on that. I'll be around.